Hello, heroes, and welcome to the Dungeon Dome. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master, and tonight we have a very special treat for you guys. It's gonna be a weird match, and I'm into it. Let's bring on our competitors. First up is Allie Grauer playing Balon.
What's up?
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm super happy with where this season of the Dome has taken us so far. I loved the last couple of matches we got to do with the Nothing, and I'm excited.
And I've certainly loved those side podcasts that we recorded together.
Oh my gosh.
If you have access to that stream, do yourself a favor and check those out, because those are very, very good.
Gutted. So good.
Do you have any plugs that you'd like to hit us with, Allie?
Oh, just the usual Warda stuff. We're still doing Warda this month in October. We have our next live stream here on the One Shot Twitch stream next Tuesday, the 17th at 8 p.m., which is Dome time, not regular Warda time. And it will be featuring Mike McDonald and Stephen Kropa.
What?
As players.
Who? What, the Compass Cats themselves?
But not as Compass Cats.
Bin Bon and Jubna?
Who?
We should just list their resumes on the website.
We really should. That'll we really be, should just like give a whole resume, whole like ID, BM of them.
Yeah.
That's rad. Well, I mean, if you are not into Warda yet and you're looking for an entry point, the good Compass Cat boys, it could not be a better entry point for you.
It'll be fun. It'll be very,
very fun. See, it's Dry No More. That's two.
Yeah, that's for me.
That's for her.
Okay.
Dibs.
Dry No More?
What?
Okay.
He hands me a drink, and then I'm Dry No More.
Oh.
That's right. It's Solicitor 6.
Yes, Solicitor 6.
From
nice.
The Tap Keg Dojo.
Tap Keg.
And our next competitor is Drew Merzieski.
Hey, guys.
You know him as Benjin.
That's me.
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing good, man. Doing really good. It's been a good. I'm glad that I'm here doing this.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah. Forget the outside world. Forget other responsibilities. Do you have plugs that you would like to hit folks with?
Oh man, me and Allie do the same things. But the one thing that I am doing that Allie is not a part of, although you are on
the
ones and twos.
Someone's running the board.
Oh boy. Yeah, we're going to have to find someone new now.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. I should just have a shovel every time I come on this.
Every time we're live, I
just dig a hole for myself. This Saturday at 7?
Seven.
We are heading back into the Tomb of the Nine Gods as we run through the Tomb of Annihilation with a couple of different nerds, including Lady Harpath, the Prismatic.
This is going to be part four of our Tomb of Annihilation thing. You can get Tomb of Annihilation a lot of places right now. Mm. Pat, you're running through Tomb of Annihilation.
Oh, yeah, I am. But we're not in the tomb yet.
The tomb.
They have not made it to Zoom. I feel like between what Neon Rival is doing and what One Shot is doing, you might get to see the full tomb.
Yeah, probably.
The entire book. It'll be at the end.
Based on what I heard about Neon Rival's adventures, they might not make it to the
tomb. No, it's very unlikely. Very, very unlikely. But we've made it to the jungle.
Yeah, but we're just doing the tomb. It is a straight-up dungeon crawl. It's very different from, like, the other things that we do on One Shot. Like, there's a lot of character moments, but not so much story-driven stuff. It's, like, a lot of tactical decisions that we have to make and in-party arguments.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, that's where the story stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Like, you and Frank have this back and forth going on.
God.
I mean, generally, Lady Harpath has back and forth with everybody because everyone's an idiot and she knows exactly how dungeons work.
God, but man, Frank, and dealing with this god in his head. Anyway, check it out.
It's a lot of fun.
You can find the archived episodes on our YouTube page, where you can find all the archived Dungeon Dome episodes and Warda, like, you know, everything that we stream, almost everything that we stream ends up in that archive. So please head over to our YouTube page and check that out. But without much further ado, let's do this thing. And we actually open outside the dome. Benjin and Balon are not scheduled to fight tonight. In fact, they had planned to meet tonight, and that is exactly what they're doing. Benjin, you have arrived first.
Okay.
Where did you two decide to meet, and what are you wearing?
Okay, all right.
And where do you plan to go?
I went to the one place nobody will ever think that we're going to be, and that's a library.
Ooh.
So I decided we were going to meet at the... We're just starting at the library.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
There's a night planned, okay? Mm. I got a lot of stuff planned, but we're going to meet at the library, and we're going to each choose our favorite book, and we're going to read some stuff from it, and then we're going to go to dinner. It's a lot.
Nerds.
Are you allowed to read in hell?
What?
Are you allowed to read in hell? I feel like...
I can read. Of course I can read.
I'm just checking.
I can totally read.
There was like a culling where every Hellbrother who could not read, you had to secretly defy orders and read in order to advance.
Yes, that's exactly what you had to do. It was a lot. And poor Tamrin. Poor Tamrin.
Yeah, R.I.P.
So yeah, but Benjen is wearing, he's wearing street clothes. So he's wearing regular like pants. And boots with the cuffs pulled down, and he's wearing like a nice shirt, and he's like rolled up the sleeves, and he's wearing like a vest type thing.
He's virtually unrecognizable.
Very like level one adventurer, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. But he has a really cool coat that he wears. He's just out amongst the people. His hair is pulled back ready to go, and his horns are polished, and his beard is neatly trimmed and combed. He's sitting in the library reading a book of hellish poetry. It's a lot about death and fire and screams and pain and the exquisite nature of pain. No, he's not wearing his rakish hat.
Ooh.
But he has a rose, a black rose that he's, and that's how she's supposed to know that it's him.
Yeah, how else would he? Be able to.
Benjen prepared for this date by binge watching the movies of Nora Ephron.
This is Benjen's first date, and he has fantasized about a first date for a very, very long time. So he's going all no holds barred.
All out. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
All right. So we have Benjen waiting on like the stoop of the library. Nervously, I think his leg is moving up and down. He's got his black rose. He keeps checking himself, like in what reflections he can find. And we come to Balon. Balon, you are rounding the corner. Mm-hmm. How are you dressed?
Balon has her hair braided into a low chignon, is what the hairstyle is called. She looked it up in one of Arrow's magazines. And she is wearing. Definitely not her usual stuff because she does not want to be recognized right now. She has like a pale turquoise silk tunic over like brown trousers tucked into boots. It looks more like something her mother would have worn when she wasn't in battle. So it's a little fancy, a little adventure-y. There's like brocade and silk and embroidery on it. It's not something she ever would be caught in around Arrow or around any of her other family and friends, but it's something that she's kind of been holding on to, and she's really excited to wear it out for once. And yeah, she plain and simple, ready to go and ready to see what's going on.
And you round the corner and you see him sitting on that stoop, prepared, like, you know, as prepared as he's going to be, a little bit nervous. And what do you do?
She strides across the hall to him. Did you say your boots are up on the table?
No, I'm outside.
You're outside. He's on the stoop.
You're outside.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
like
stoop.
Dusk, like the, uh-huh. the lamps are just being lit type thing.
Yeah, she strides over to him, and without speaking, she reaches down and she sweeps him up, like by his collar, and holds him slightly above the ground and says, "We need to talk."
So Benjen is sitting there. You look, the camera pans down, and his feet are off the steps.
Yeah.
Benjen really quickly looks over to the side, and there's Fillmore, and Fillmore has like a beret and a mustache on him, and he's got like a violin, and he's also got flower candies that he's supposed
Fillmore.
To bring, and you see Benjen like wave him away, and Fillmore goes back away, and he's like, okay, all right, if we want to talk, let's talk. Where do you want to talk?
I don't care where we talk. We just need to talk.
Can you let me down?
Yes, for the moment.
And she sets him down.
He goes and takes her hand and leads her into the library.
She squeezes it so that his finger bones pop.
And we hear that. And he switches it to his metal hand, and then moves into the library, and they go into like the deep stacks, where nobody's there. And he turns around and whispers, "What? What is it? What do you want? What's wrong?"
"I am trying very hard to keep it together right now, and I need you to understand that."
"Balaam, have you raged all this while?"
"Yay, and I will rage a while longer."
"Very well. Why?"
"You need to deal with your boy."
Benjen goes, "Like Trim? Like, what are we talking about here?"
"Claudish."
"Yeah, what about him?"
"You didn't hear about the match?"
No, I was preparing for our date, and Claudish came by, having just finished the dome, and I go, "Hey, how was it?" He said it was fine, and then he went to his room.
"Fine. He said it was fine?"
"Yeah, he wasn't happy about it. He obviously lost."
"You need... Look, all right. I am going to say this as a courtesy to you, and I want you to really understand that. Are you with me so far?"
Does a librarian come by and shush her?
I think there is like a halfling librarian that like rounds the corner and sees this like 6'4" tower of muscle and meat and keeps walking.
"Okay, just tell me what happened, all right? Let's be calm here."
"I am very calm right now."
I don't think that's true. I think we have a different understanding of what calm is.
"I am as calm as I can be when my cousin is practically dead."
"Dead? Why?"
"He did this to her."
"How? He wouldn't do that to her. He loves her.
"He does not."
He
betrayed her, Benjen. She is in a coma."
"How?"
"She won't wake up. Her heart is broken. He betrayed her. He led her on or something, and then he killed her in the dome."
"Her on? Claudish?"
"Well, yes."
"No.
It's the same guy.
He's got
feathers and claws."
I'm sorry. Let's take a moment here. Claudish.
"Yes.
My friend."
"Yes."
"You do not know Claudish. Claudish would not do that. If anything.
Don't you say it.
Your cousin, the paladin of the Shika Shika Boom Boom goddess, obviously led him on. If there is anything that has happened here, she has bewitched him.
And why would she go into a coma over a broken heart?"
"Guilt?"
"Oh yes, because guilt has killed so many people."
Do you not know me? No. Do you not understand what I've been through? What I feel through my entire life? I'm sorry. Have we not had this conversation about guilt and what I feel about that?"
"This isn't about you."
"No, you're right. It's not about me. It's about Claudish."
"Yes.
It is about what she has done to Claudish."
"It is about what he has done to her."
"No.
I told you that this was a courtesy to you."
"A courtesy to me?"
"Yes."
"Why, then is courtesy a construct? It is a turncoat."
"It sure is."
"Then tell me, how may I be courtesy unto you, Balon Territrix?"
"Kill Claudish."
"Not for the wide world."
"You kill me to deny it. I'll do it myself."
"Calm down, all right?"
"Really? You're gonna tell me to calm down?"
"Yes, I'm gonna tell you to calm down."
That's your choice.
"What do you want me to do? You want me to go and stab him?"
"Yes."
"You want me to go and kill him?"
"Yes."
"My best friend?"
"Yes."
"Who saved my life more than once?"
"Yes. If you love me..."
"By this hand that you ripped from my body, that I have had to have surgically placed on me more than once because I don't own it. Dungeon owns my arm and gives it to me as a courtesy. By this metal hand forged in hell itself, I love thee, but I will not kill my friend. I will not kill the one person in this and any other plane who has shown any kindness to me up until, no, not even you, I will not kill him.
Fine.
I'm glad you understand.
I understand.
Then what do we do? How do we fix this?
I kill him.
You take that back.
Oh, God. That I were a god, I would eat his heart in the marketplace. I would slide the ribs from his rib cage and pluck his eyes out with them. He will die for this, Benjen.
And I thought monsters only came from hell.
Oh, I'll go there too, because your boss is next.
You may do whatever you want to Dungeon. We've discussed that. But you take one step, or one finger on Claudish, and I swear to every dark god I know, you'll get one of these as well.
Bring it.
And with that, these two find themselves out of place. They were once standing in a library, shouting at each other while security stood by nervously as they had recognized the two as competitors in the Dungeon Dome and knew what both Benjen and Balon were capable of. But as soon as they managed to marshal their courage to stride forward, the two were gone. And we cut to the Dungeon Dome, where clowns are currently cartwheeling about the field. There is an appreciative crowd, as Kazoodle is calling out. And aren't they fantastic, ladies and gentlemen? Please, please, put your hands together for this wonderful act of... Well, there appears to be some sort of rumbling. The rumbling is continuing, and rising out of the ground are stone pillars, pushing themselves up through the earth. And in the middle of their rising, on either pillar, Benjen and Balon are teleported on top of each stairwell, rising from the earth. Walls crawl up around there, and then beneath them, lava spills from the ground and fills the arena with heat. Those performers that were there earlier quickly scurry away. The crowd is confused at first. But then the Megadome focuses on the faces, the blazing eyes of Benjen and Balon as they stare each other down across the lava, and the crowd roars. I guess we've got a match! Benjen and Balon, once again in the dome, welcome them! And roll for initiative.
I have a question. Yeah, that is a 5.
5?
Yeah.
It's a 17.
Okay!
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have our armor and everything with us?
Yes. Okay. You find yourself in your armor.
Cool.
And with your weapons at your side. The dome was prepared for this. The dome felt the heat of your rage and called you forth because you have pledged your swords to it, and it will see them fly.
Benjen draws his sword, prepares his stance, and opens himself wide.
Yeah.
Come, my Lady Disdain! Are you yet cursed?
Balon draws her great sword. And we've got a little wooden plankway across the lava, is that just so?
Yes, there is a little wooden plankway across the lava.
Delightful. Balon is going to rage and go right for it. Yeah, she's going to cut across the plankway right at Benjen.
Do you mind if we both meet each other in the middle?
Yeah, I feel meeting in the middle is perfect. You Benjamin button that plank.
Yeah.
Time and place, James.
That time and place is now.
Okay. And yeah, she's gonna go ahead and come at him.
It's over. She has the high ground.
That is going to be 14.
That does not hit.
Well, that was such an unfortunate roll for someone without any inspiration.
Oh, but I'm gonna re-roll it because I have inspiration. That's going to be a 16.
That doesn't hit?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I could just burn through all this inspiration right now.
I mean, yeah, use the other two for a straight reroll.
Yeah.
Let's start this off with a bang. Reroll it.
Gotta get that first hit.
This is terrible.
Oh, no.
That's even less.
She is fraught right now. dashing across the platform to Benjen, her eyes fill with tears. The stinging rage that beats in her chest that normally drives forward every swing of her great sword is also mixed with a gentle sadness that pulls her down, pulls her strikes away. For as angry as she is, her heart beats not only with rage, but love. Love for the very man that she must cut down. It is your turn.
My turn. All right, I'm going to reroll that.
I mean, oh, it's God. Kind of happening, son of our hurricane. It's kind of happening.
I'm going to reroll that
too. Oh my God!
There we
That's
go.
That's a hit.
You get three, man.
Thank you.
That is an 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah, that's...
23, it's a 1d8 plus... It's a 10.
So, ooh. Taking 5.
Yep, taking the 5.
Let's see here. What else can I do while we're sitting here? Oh, yes. That's it.
Benjen.
Did my attack.
Benjen, driven more by nerves. Benjen was shocked, taken aback at these accusations, not sure how to respond. He is not as sloppy in his movements as Balon is right now. She's finding a firm hold on that axe, but his sword is firm. He parries her blows and then returns with a slash across her chest. The crowd roars, seeing her blood spill onto the plank.
And there's a brief moment where he does that and he realizes what he's done. He's like,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. She takes the hit. The blood goes, and then she lashes out again. Just, like, fighting blind. Yeah, there we go. That's 22?
Cool.
Yeah, that'll probably hit.
Probably hit?
Go for it.
Okay. 10 damage?
Cool. I'm gonna parry.
Ooh, what a good roll.
Minus 7 of that. So 10.
So 3?
So 3, yeah. I take 3.
How do I take that away from you?
You can't.
I mean, you keep hitting him until
real question.
He doesn't
like, how
have
do I
it.
Make... Oh, yeah, because he runs out. That's
I
right.
run out.
You can also... I mean, I don't know if sundering works the way it did in 3.5, but you could also break his weapon.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to pull cool sword tricks with a broken weapon. I mean, he might still be able to parry with his metal arm. I would definitely rule that. I'm that type of guy.
Yeah, so. I feel like he would, too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's your turn.
Cool.
Right?
This is a slugfest.
Yeah, dude. Holy, this is back and forth. Man.
It has like drums, like it's a Jackie Chan movie.
No, it's what is it? Something of the Fates. Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
Duel of the Fates is clearly.
Yeah.
It's episode 3.
I was thinking we would build up to Duel of the Fates, and that we were going to start with just like taiko drumming.
I'm going to use disarming attack on you.
Ooh.
What does that mean?
Disarming.
So when you hit, I disarm you. You got to make a.
I think it's a strength check.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I wonder who's going to win this one.
It is going to be a 16. Does a 16 hit?
It does.
All right then. You need to make a 13 dex save.
Dex?
No, I'm sorry. Strength. Yeah. Strength. All right. Strength.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 15.
Cool. But I still get the damage, and there is an additional d8 to that damage.
He's adding a superiority die. He only has one left.
No, I got two left. I did that and then did this as well. 15 damage.
All right, so 7.
I'm going to action surge and attack again. Let's see, I only have two left. I'm going to put these two here. I'm just going to do a straight attack. 17. That definitely hits.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be 8 damage, so 4.
Okay, that's what I had anyway. That's fine. Okay.
And it passes once more to Balon. Benjen finishes a flurry of attacks. They are ferocious, but they are also targeted. His first attack, not against the woman herself, but her sword, throws her off balance, but she is simply too strong for him to knock away her blade. His second attack slashes once again across her skin, but the flesh is too tough. A normal opponent would have been cut down by these blows, but not Balon. Balon holds firm.
That's why I love you.
Shut up.
We have used all of the positive crits that were sent in by people. So this is going to do double damage.
Neat. I'm into that. Okay. Yes. So that's going to be these two guys. 12.
I'm going to parry.
Ooh,
takes 8.
Rolls very well.
Is he allowed to parry when it's a crit?
Yep. Yep.
Even though he's getting double damage?
Yep.
He's got one superiority die already used his action surge. I think you saw Benjin finish early. There's not much left to fighters after that.
Whew. What was the damage you rolled?
12.
All right.
So it would have been 24.
Oh, boy.
Oh, 24 minus.
Because double.
Yeah, 24 minus 8.
I'm counting odds. Counting those odds up.
Yeah, dude.
Let's see here. So it is.
I mean, Benjin had a couple really lucky rolls with those superiority dice.
Yes.
But I still think this is anybody's game right now.
Bonkers.
Okay. Cool, cool.
How much damage did it end up being?
15 damage.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Oh, also I'm going to do Hellish Rebuke since you hit me.
Yeah.
15 damage.
That's fire?
15 damage fire. So that's full damage on that.
Great.
So Balon... Balon screams and brings her sword like in a swing that arcs up. Benjin parries it. He blocks, but she swings through his sword. He is not strong enough to stand against her strike. His hand is thrown back, and with his other, he snaps. A whip of fire jets out from his body and strikes around Balon. Through the flames, she grits her teeth and steps forward.
As a bonus action, I use second
wind. You wouldn't have a bonus action. I mean, this is your turn now.
That's right. So. It is my turn now. So when, okay, it's fine.
You used your reaction.
Yes, that to do that.
Ended, unless you have anything else that you would like to do. Okay.
Cool. Then I'm going to do an attack. I have one superiority dice left. 20. Is that it?
20 what?
20.
Against AC?
Against AC.
Yeah.
Cool. Any
you
inspiration?
You don't need any. Trust me, you don't need them.
14.
He got some one
so
by
seven
one.
Seven damage?
Yep, only seven damage.
As a bonus action, I'm going to use 1d10 plus 3 to regain hit points. 8 hit points.
I am full.
Reroll your attack.
Solicitor 6, where do you live? That also hits. Do you want me to roll the damage again? Or no,
we'd need 1,000 for that.
Cool.
So it is your turn. And Balon, I will remind you at this time that you can use your inspiration to do all sorts of things.
Yeah, that's very true. And as I'm full, I'm gonna take a look at that list. There's some options here.
No one? No one at all for help?
So I have a question, James. The hit dice thing, regaining hit points, what is that in context?
You would need a short rest. So it's not something that can
Are you tired, Balon? Do you want to take a rest?
This is off camera.
He has an ability that can second wind.
But I can't do that again.
He has used every fighter ability that he has.
Yeah, but that might not matter depending on how this goes.
I would hit him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to hit him. All right. So, automatically hits is 5, you said, right?
Yeah. I would advise against that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm thinking about yes. I'm thinking about adding damage. Cross counter font.
I would honestly if you're looking for tactical advice right now, I would give yourself advantage. I would add 3d6 of damage and I would push him into the lava.
Yeah, that was what I was looking at doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that will be all 5 of mine. So I'm giving myself advantage on the roll. I'm adding 1d6 damage, and I'm going to push him 10 feet.
Yep.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right, so advantage.
You guys, I'm so stressed out.
Oh, man.
Oh, they were the same. 16 to hit? No?
Nope.
Looks like she's refilled, though.
Interesting.
I would spend 2 of those on a reroll.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Doesn't your strength go up when you...
The strength go up?
Yeah, when you rage, doesn't your strength go up?
I get +2 to damage.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's all strength does? That's all rage does?
Yeah.
Wait,
they nerfed it a little bit for...
That's a lot of it.
Yeah. Let me check.
Yeah. We'll check on that.
Because then that's still 16 to hit.
How? Did you roll the same thing? That doesn't make any sense.
It's just plus the attack bonus, right? Because the +2 comes to the damage.
Yeah, I suppose if that's it. That's a really
What level are you?
Level 3.
Sorry, we're checking the book real quick.
Yeah.
You have advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a melee weapon attack using strength, you gain bonuses to the damage roll that increases as you gain levels as a barbarian.
It's a 2, but it will go higher as she gets higher levels.
You have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have written down.
All right. spend two more in advantage. You got to make this hit count.
Yeah, I do. That's going to be a 23.
23? Mm-hmm. That definitely hits.
Okay. And I've already purchased the additional 1d6 damage and pushing him 10 feet. So 17?
17 total?
17. Well, there should be one more d6. You're adding 3d6 of damage.
Oh, gosh. Okay. 18 plus 23.
All right. 23? I parry.
And he moves 10 feet.
Don't need to roll strength for that?
No.
I mean, if you would like to roll an opposed strength check,
I would love to, actually. What was the total? You total damage?
23.
Mm-hmm. 23. Cool. I have decided what will happen with this strength check. So it's going to be opposed strength. Baylon, as we've just found out, you have advantage on all strength checks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd roll your two strength dice right now.
You saw both of them, right?
Well,
yes.
Okay. And
so what happened?
I'm going to use that to reroll.
Great.
Let's see here. What can I do?
You've used all of the tricks.
Oh, I've used all of my tricks.
Flip through pages quickly. It helped me.
16, 17,
18, 19. It kind of did.
It did.
What do I have to beat?
What? For AC?
No, for the strength check. What do I have to beat?
Oh, a 19 plus my strength, right?
Plus, so.
So 24.
So I need to roll a natural 20.
Yeah, that would be literally the only way that you could beat it.
Okay, I'm down to 2, down to 1.
And that's a natural 1.
That's a natural 1.
Ooh!
So, Drew, because he elected to have us change the rules for our move someone 10 feet and asked for a save, will now take an additional d12 of damage when he hits the lava.
Excellent.
So,
2d12.
This is your doing.
14 damage as Benjen. Which way is he flying?
Oh, he's going to go that way into the lava.
Benjen flies into the lava, sinking somewhat. It envelops him. He feels once more the embrace of hell as he is struck down and he looks up at the raging eyes of Baylon.
And he looks up, and as it goes around him, he feels himself die, because that's what happens. I only had 4 hit points left, so that definitely kills him. He can see Baylon and see the rage in her eyes and the way that she looks, and he just sadly shakes his head.
It's over, Benjen. I have the high ground. Okay, I said it. There, I said it.
There we go. We did it.
She spits into the lava.
Nice.
And as she spits after him, as he still goes under, you see him mouth, "You never loved me."
She snarls down at him as the lava covers his face and shakes her head and looks up at the dome. Everyone watching and cheering and screaming about this. You know nothing about me.
I'm
already gone.
She's talking to the dome, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a step further. Baylon, you're raging right now.
Oh, yes.
I don't know that you express yourself in concise sentences when you're raging. I feel like there's only one way to convey your emotion to this person, and that's diving down on top of him.
Yeah.
Into that lava.
Mm-hmm. So just as it covers his face then.
Yes.
She leaps in.
I think just before it covers his face, because he should see this happen.
Mm-hmm.
You leap down on top of him and you stand on the lava as it burns you. You grab him, pulling him out of the lava a little bit as you now both start to sink down.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What do you say?
I feel like Benjen has this very serene look in his face. He's like, "I'm going to go." He's already said his piece. And then, ooh, as she lands on him.
She is so angry about everything. She's angry about Arrow. She's angry about Claudish. She's angry about Benjen's response. And she's angry that all of this is happening all at the same time. And she grips him with white knuckles and howls in rage, a wordless howl. But I think she conks heads with him. Like, she, presses his head to her head, trying to communicate exactly how
And all that Benjen can say to her, because Benjen is ticked off. He's so mad. Mm-hmm. Basically saying, like, your mother'd be very disappointed in you. She ever try to save you? Because she tried to save me. Maybe she loved me more than she loved you.
I mean, you try to say those things, but also your lungs are boiling.
So it's basically just,
You try to have a snappy retort, and in this anguish... In this dance you two are doing in the lava, as Balon dies on top of you and you die underneath her, you feel what Balon has seen. And we see Balon standing over Arrow in the hospital. This is all taking place on the Megadome above the dome itself.
Yeah.
It was after Arrow's match. You didn't watch the match.
Didn't see the end.
Nope. You were up getting concessions. It finished quicker than you would have expected. Mm-hmm. And you saw her there, sitting on, like, reposed in the bed with different clerics and healers around her, unable to make her move.
And Balon is as gentle as she can be for as long as she can be that gentle. And she holds Arrow's hand, and she, like, touches her and, like, talks to her and shakes her a little bit. And then... when she can't sit there anymore, a couple minutes later, she storms out to go find the next thing to do, to go find Benjen, because she does want to give him that one chance to do the right thing.
And Benjen, you see also, after getting her visit with Arrow, the last vision that you see is the match itself. You see Arrow standing with the fan, in front of her, you see Dandelion bent down over her, and you see an eldritch spear soar through the air and strike her in the heart, destroying the fan and leaving her at the jaws of the undead monster. And you see a vision of who Claudish was in that moment, of what he had become capable of. You see a hellish glow in his eyes, and in that glow, you recognize but one thing, and its name is Dungeon.
I feel like Benjen. Where do they wake up after
oh,
this?
Oh, you haven't woken up.
No, like...
Time has stopped.
Has stopped.
Once more.
Okay.
And you find yourself unmoving in a sea of anguish as lava envelops you.
Then, as time has stopped and... everything's enveloped, everything that Benjen is coalesces into one thought, having seen Claudish and seen that he has completely given himself to Dungeon then, and not even recognizing his friend in that. He coalesces everything into one sentence that he can get out as he reaches up and he grabs Balon, and as they butt heads, he looks at her and says, "Enough. I am engaged. I will challenge him."
And you feel the relief of death take you once more. And you find yourselves teleported into the locker rooms, separate but together in one purpose. And that is justice. And that is the Dungeon Dome!
Woo!
Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for swaying this match in many directions. Beautiful thing.
Oh, man, yeah.
Please join us this Saturday for the Dungeon Dome Interdimensional Championships. We are pitting characters from other podcasts against each other. It's going to start at 12 p.m. Central Time with a match between characters from Improvised Star Trek, Neo Scum, and Campaign for our Sci-Fi Championship. And then we will have a match against a Tarrasque. The boys from System Mastery are going to be joining us for that. I will be in it, playing as Cool Dad from our Worldwide Wrestling episodes. And finally, Matt Young will be playing Usador the Blue.
What?
To help us face this terrain.
Oh my god!
It's going to be a good match. John Arcadian from Gnome Stew is going to be running that encounter. It's going to be great. Be sure to check it out on YouTube when it goes up there, and tell your friends about it. And we'll see you next time, heroes.
Thank you, guys.